Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you're dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. This is Janice and the rest of our Homeport crew. As usual, we have Beth and Steve with us today.
Morning, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Beth. Hi, Steve. For those non-members out there who are listening and don't know what the Great Loop is, there's actually a continuous waterway that it goes around the eastern half of North America. It goes as far south as the Gulf of Mexico and as far north as into Canada. It's a great trip, and our organization was formed basically to pass on information and to promote a shared sense of activity and adventure on the loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to become a member, and we have a special running in June. A six-month membership is 99 cents. It's good for June only, so don't forget to go to the webpage and sign up. Our host this week is David Grill. He's one of our harbor hosts in the Manhattan area. I had originally announced that John Calasabietta was going to be our co-host, but John had an emergency, and David was gracious enough to fill in at the last minute. David is going to bring us through cruising the New York Harbor and tell us that it's really nothing to be afraid of. We encourage questions during this show. David is really looking forward to them, so please call in. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. David, we hand the show over to you.
Okay, thank you, and good morning, everybody. Again, my name is David Grill. I am a native New Yorker. Grew up in what we call the Bronx. Now live in New Jersey. I've got a 30-year-old Grand Banks trawler that is based in Jersey City, right across from the World Financial Center in New York Harbor. And I have been operating in New York Harbor for the 5 years that I've had this boat. And the harbor appears to be a lot more intimidating than it really is. And I'm going to try to walk you through what you're going to experience as you come up from the south, which is, I think, where most loopers will come from. As you come up the Jersey coast, if you've got a really clear day, you'll start to pick up to the north the towers of the Verrazano Bridge across the Narrows. And you'll get really excited because you think you're almost there, but at trawler speed, the Verrazano Bridge is really, really tall, and you're probably still 3 hours away. I had that experience myself when I brought my boat home from the Chesapeake for the first time. I got all excited because I could see the bridge, and the captain that was with us said, calm down, we're not there yet. So as you come north, the one thing, again, I'm going to assume that most of us are on trawlers or sailboats and, with cruising speeds in the vicinity of 10 knots. And at those speeds, what you'll find, one of the things about New York Harbor is that it really pays from a fuel consumption and a timing viewpoint that, if possible, time your arrival through the Narrows with the tide, because the tide through the Narrows can run at, as much as 3 knots and sometimes even more. So having the tide against you doesn't stop you from coming through, but it does slow you down a lot, and you're going to be burning a lot more diesel. As you approach the Narrows, you will see commercial traffic. You'll see container ships and tankers going in and out. They will be in the center of the channel. Obviously, you can stay well clear of those by just sticking to the sides of the channel, either on the port side or the starboard side as you come up through the narrows.
David, I'm assuming the channel is very well marked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's very well marked. It's marked with lateral buoys, and it is also, I'm assuming most of us have chart plotters and GPS, and you'll know your position pretty closely. And what I try to do is stay to the edges of the channels. The thing about New York Harbor is that although it looks on a map, on a chart, it looks relatively small, and it looks like there's an awful lot of traffic in it, there's a lot of water in it. And when I say a lot of water, there's a lot of horizontal water and a lot of vertical water. I don't think I ever look at my depth finder, even coming into the marinas. There is plenty of water underneath the keel, and there's plenty of water laterally, so that it's fairly easy to stay out of the way of the commercial traffic. The thing that you'll find really, really helpful, and I learned this the first year or two that I had the boat, is keep a sharp ear on your radio. And you should be monitoring, you should be scanning, obviously, channel 16, but the harbor frequency is channel 13. And if you switch over to channel 13, you'll hear all the commercial guys talking to one another. They are always working out passing situations. And again, with a trawler, because I can't power my way out of anything, it makes the trip a lot more relaxing if you're on the radio, and when you see a tug or a ferry and it's a crossing situation, hail them on the radio. And the thing that you'll find with the commercial guys is that so few of us pleasure boaters actually do that. They are always grateful when you do. I can't tell you how many times I've hailed somebody, negotiated a passing situation, and then you get a thank you from the commercial captain, because
David,
very rarely do people do it.
David?
Yeah.
My line on that, when I talk to people about stuff like that in Charleston Harbor, is if you talk to the guy, he's going to take your birthday and start sending you cards.
Well, we're in New York and New Jersey, so we're not quite that friendly.
Yeah, we have had some negative publicity, and it's not necessarily New York, but the tugs just don't bother answering you, and people just get that experience, and then they hesitate to even try again. But experience in New York is that they're pretty good to answer you?
Yeah, they are. You know, and sometimes what I find myself doing is I'll hail a tug or a ferry and just say, you know, be advised I'm planning to, you know, pass astern of you, or I'm going to pass you, and I'll get into the whistle signals in a minute. You know, I'm going to pass you on the one or pass you on the two. And sometimes you'll get a roger, thank you, and sometimes you won't get anything, and that to me is just affirmation that I'm going to follow through on that.
Uh-huh.
The ferry captains, I think, are better than some of the tug captains. The tugs are moving so slowly that you can pretty much stay out of their way. The ferries are obviously faster. They're trying to get from one place to another. And while we're on the whistle signals, one of the things let me just back up. We've come underneath the Verrazano Bridge. The best place to be coming in at that point is on the right side of the channel, on the Brooklyn side rather than the Staten Island side, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Most of the commercial traffic that will be on your left and will stay on your left. What you'll hear on the radio is the commercial guys talking about a buoy called the KV buoy, the Kilo Victor buoy. And that is at the junction of two major channels. And as you come up through the harbor, the KV marks the entrance to the channel that goes off to the left behind Staten Island and goes to the container port and the oil refinery. So there's a lot of traffic coming in and out of that. And so what you hear is the commercial guys negotiating crossing situations at the KV. But if you're off to the right, heading north, all of that is happening on your port side and really doesn't concern you very much. It's just you just want to watch that watch that activity. Let's see. Talked about the radio, talked about the tidal currents. I just want to mention the ferries. If you're coming up on a weekday, there's obviously going to be a lot of ferry activity. You're going to see the Staten Island ferries. Those are hard to miss. They're large, they're orange, they move very fast. And they go so fast that they will maneuver around you. They look, this is again in the category of it looks more intimidating than it really is. You really don't have to be concerned about them. Just be aware that they're there, and they'll get around you. The smaller ferries, which are, you'll see these blue and white ferries buzzing all over the harbor, those are New York waterways. And also, they're fast. They will tend to stay out of your way. If there's a crossing situation, they will hail you on the radio, or if you see a crossing situation, call them on the radio. And they're generally grateful for the radio call because they don't want to get into a situation either. And the rest of the traffic in the harbor is mostly pleasure boaters, and you know, there's a lot of sailboats, there's a lot of power boats, you know, on the weekends, and you just have to be aware of them like any place else.
In David, what about the wakes from the ferries? Are they very bad, and are they respectful of you and not throwing their wake particularly?
Funny you should mention that. I was just going to get into that. The one thing that I think people react negatively to in the harbor is that it can at times be like navigating in a washing machine. We call it the Maytag effect.
Doesn't sound like fun.
Well, it's not exactly pleasurable. But again, it depends. You know, it depends on the traffic. The ferries. You know, I would prefer that the ferries not pass as close as they do sometimes. They do throw up a large wake, and I'm just, you know, because I do this all the time, you're just prepared for it. You know, you let them pass, and then you turn into the wake and take it on your bow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you bounce a little bit. The time that the harbor can get really, you know, almost, I would say, uncomfortable is if the wind and the tide are in opposition and it's rush hour.
Bad combination.
It's a bad combination. You're going to get, it's like I describe it as, damn, I wish they'd fix these potholes. You know, so it's just you're going to bounce around, and see, and at this point you're not, it really depends on your mindset. If you think you're going to tour around and look at the sights, you're going to get bounced around. You're not going to be very happy, and it's probably not a good time for sightseeing. You know, at this point, you're coming into the harbor. I presume you're looking for your destination. You're looking to lay over, and really, what you're doing is you're getting from point A to point B at this point. You know, and I'll talk about I'll talk about some of the places to stay.
Well, David, before you go into that, the comment that I have is the situation you described with the wind and tide going in opposite directions is true of virtually any harbor on the East Coast.
That's true.
So, you know, nothing unusual there as far as I'm concerned.
The wild card there is you got the wakes, you got the ferries. You know, and they throw up wakes, and there's a lot of them. I mean, the great news is that 20 years ago, there were no ferries other than the Staten Island Ferry. You know, and the harbor has really come back to life. It's been returned to, I'm almost reverting to my 60s. It's been returned to the people.
Yeah.
You know, it was 20 years ago, it was a wreck. You know, it was all post-industrial. There was no access to the water. There was virtually no ferry service. Nobody knew. You know, the city was totally disconnected from the harbor.
Well, a lot of the old piers on the New York side caught fire and burned down.
Right. And I'm going to get into some of the river stuff that you can do while you're visiting. In terms of once you're in, where to stop, there's if you really want to have an experience, and if the weather is cooperating, there's a protected anchorage behind the Statue of Liberty, and it's on the charts. And it's moderately, it's far enough out of the channel so that the wakes aren't bad, you know, especially at night when the ferry service drops down. And I've never been there, but I've talked to some friends in my marina who sometimes will just go out there for the night and drop the hook. And you're right behind the Statue of Liberty. And it's a tremendous view. And that's a nice place to drop the hook for the night.
Does it tend to get crowded, David?
No, actually, it doesn't. It doesn't. I've been past it. I go, you know, because every time I'm just messing around in the harbor, you know, just to go out for a couple of hours, I've never seen many boats in there.
Great. Okay, thank you.
You know, so it's a good place to drop the hook. In terms of marinas, there's only two marinas in the harbor that I would recommend. And those are, as you come up and you pass the Statue of Liberty and you pass Ellis Island and you get to the tip of Manhattan at the Battery, there's the what's called the Morris Canal on the Jersey City side. And you can't miss it because there used to be a Colgate manufacturing plant there that had a huge clock on it, which is called appropriately enough the Colgate clock. And that was landmarked. And when the plant was torn down, they took the clock and they planted it on the corner right at the canal. So it's really hard to miss the canal. And when you go into the canal, on your left, on the Liberty State Park side, is the Liberty Landing Marina. And that's a very large full-service marina. And on the right, in a little cove, even more protected, is Liberty Harbor, which is where my boat is docked. And those two marinas are totally protected, you know, both from weather, and you don't get any wake coming in off the river. There are other marinas on the river, like Newport, and I think there's another one, I can't remember the name of it, where you're going to rock and roll all night, and it's really uncomfortable.
David, is it okay to ask you what the prices are at Liberty Landing? I mean, we hear New York can be so expensive.
It is expensive, and I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember what the transient rates, but both marinas have very nice websites. And you can go on. And, you know, if you're staying for a couple of days, you know, or two a week, it's not that much more expensive than if you ran up the river for 20 miles.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's more expensive, but we're talking marginal here.
And then if you go up the river 20 miles, you have the expense and the time of getting into the city if your purpose is to sightsee.
Right. Right, and here's the thing about both Liberty Landing and Liberty Harbor. Liberty Landing has water taxi service right across to Manhattan. And if you want to visit the Statue of Liberty or Ellis Island, the statue boats and Ellis Island boats also leave from Liberty Landing. So you've got that. On the north side at Liberty Harbor, you're in Jersey City, and it's a three-block walk to the train. That's called PATH, P-A-T-H, and the PATH trains take you right into Manhattan for $2.
You're talking about our old home territory, David, so Steve and I know it well.
Right.
Use PATH trains lots.
Yeah, so you're familiar with them.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, PATH is a great way to get in, and there's also light rail service, and there's also, which is why I like keeping my boat there, it's a neighborhood. You know, so there are restaurants, there are bars that you can walk around. You can walk two blocks over to the river. And, you know, you got this stupendous, absolutely stupendous view of lower Manhattan from across the river.
Do they still have, when you take the ferry over to Manhattan, the one I used to take stopped at right in front of the Javits Center, and then you could take a bus almost, any free bus, almost anywhere you wanted to go in Manhattan. Do they still have that?
They have that, but not from there. The ferries from
Hoboken, I think it was.
Yeah, Hoboken will take you over there, but you got to get to Hoboken. The best way to get into Manhattan from the north side, from Liberty Harborside is walk up to the path.
Yeah.
And then you can either take it to World Trade or you can take it up to 33rd Street in Herald Square.
Yep.
You know, so that in terms, as a matter of fact, I met at the marina, there was a looper staying at my marina, and he was, every day, he was going into Manhattan and, you know, doing the tourist thing.
Well, I used to, I'm off on a tangent, but when we lived up in that area, I used to go to Hoboken and take the ferry just for the fun of it.
Right. Right. Well, here's, I mean, the greatest bargain in town right now, the Staten Island ferry is free.
Yep.
You know, and you see those boats on weekends. They're just loaded with people that you know aren't commuters.
Yep.
And is the Statue of Liberty Park free, or is there a fee to get in?
Oh, there's a fee.
There is a fee.
There's a fee. I don't remember what it is, but there is a fee. And again, the statue boats, you can take the statue boats from the Battery in Manhattan if you're on that side, or you take them from take them right out of Liberty Landing,
uh-huh.
You know, on the canal. And as a matter of fact, this I'm going to let you in on a local secret now. Even if you're on the Manhattan side, the wait on the Manhattan side could be hours to get on a boat, and on the Morris Canal side, you just get on a boat.
So returning would be a little bit difficult.
Returning from where?
In other words, if you wanted to go take one of the ferries over to Manhattan from Liberty Landing, when you were coming back, you'd have a long wait?
No, I'm talking about the Statue of Liberty ferries now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Right. No, I'm not talking about the commuter ferries. The commuter ferries are the walk-on. They're, you never have to wait.
Okay.
You're
in other words, it's much quicker to get to the Statue of Liberty from the Jersey side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's much quicker, less crowded, yada, yada, yada.
Now, I know this is a really difficult question, David, because, you know, we come from Manhattan. It's huge. If you only had a few days as a looper, what would you not miss?
Oh boy!
Oh, it's just the list is so long.
It's a really long list. It depends on what you're interested in. If your view of going to New York is going to the theater, then you get theater tickets. If your view of New York is seeing what the city is like from the water, then. You know, even though this is going to sound almost counterintuitive because you've come in on a boat, what you might want to do is take one of the excursion cruises. You know, because then somebody else is driving.
And you can really see, yeah.
And you can really see. I mean, when I have friends out on my boat, we got this route that we take because I'm driving. You know, we go around the Battery and up the East River and underneath the bridges and down to the Verrazano and, you know, up to Hudson a little bit. And, you know, what I could, the technical term is farting around in the harbor.
Fantastic. David, we're almost out of time. Now, we've gotten to the harbor and we've gotten to a marina.
Mm-hmm.
What's the recommended route to get up to the Hudson? Is it pretty well marked?
Well, if you're at one of the two Liberties, you go out of the canal into the Hudson River and turn left.
Just turn left.
Right. And just keep going until you run out of river. Because you'll keep going up the Hudson. Again, trawler speed. If you want to, you can do it in 3 days leisurely to get up to the entrance to the canals, or 2 days if you want to push it. You know, pushing it means 8 to 10 hours a day.
That's really pushing it.
Yeah.
So plan on 3 days to take the Hudson.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 days because the Hudson's beautiful too. I mean, the Hudson, once you get, well, even in the, you know, I'm a city boy. I never tire of the view of the city, you know, from the river.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get north of the George Washington Bridge, it starts to turn green on both sides. And then when you get up into, you go through Havistraw Bay at the Tappan Zee Bridge, and then you're in the Bear Mountain Gorge. And you've got these high cliffs on either side as you twist through the gorge. And the river is just, again, it's one of these places you're never going to run out of things to look at when you're going up there. You're cruising along. You're doing your 8.5 to 10 knots. And you're going, ooh, look at that. What's that?
You know, David, I can still remember as a kid in school taking a school trip to Bear Mountain Park.
Yeah.
And going up the river and just the magnificence of the cliffs on each side. It was something you don't ever forget.
I know. The first time I took my boat up through the Bear Mountain Gorge, at the Bear Mountain Bridge, the water depth is something like 200 feet.
Wow.
Because the river just gouged out that gorge.
Wow.
You know, every place else, you know, like in New York Harbor, the controlling depth is probably around 45 or 50 feet in the channel, you know, for the large commercial traffic. And then further up, it's...
China now, where the controlling depth is like 6 feet.
right.
David,
right.
We're just about out of time. Steve, you wanted to say something?
Well, I think I've got two things I'd like David to address. And the first one is, it seems like the commercial traffic would drop off about halfway up Manhattan. Is that correct?
You broke up a little on the question. Say it again.
Okay. As you're going north out of the harbor on the Hudson, where does the commercial traffic drop out?
I would say 50th Street.
Yeah. Midtown, basically.
Yeah, Midtown.
Yeah.
You know, and then what you've got, you've still got, now remember the Hudson is an estuary and it's tidal all the way to Albany.
Yep.
And Albany is a seaport. You know, so you'll see ocean-going vessels going all the way up to Albany. But what you don't have north of Midtown is you don't have the ferry traffic anymore.
Well, and most of the commercial traffic has gone to New York anyway.
Right.
So
right. You know, right. So when I say you're still going to have commercial traffic, you're going to have some tugs, you know, with oil barges. You're going to have some, you know, some small ocean-going vessels going up. But those are a handful.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really, once you clear Midtown, it's a very relaxing ride up the river. You don't have to be on red alert all the time.
Yep.
You sit back. Again, if you're going to trawler speed, you're going to see things well before you have to do anything about them. The only thing, like in most rivers, you want to look for stuff that's floating.
Yep.
You know, large solid objects you want to avoid, softer objects like, you know, the odd body or two, you can just hit. It doesn't take much for the New Yorker in me to come out.
The other question I had was about the East River.
Yeah.
And how fast is the current there when it's going out?
If you're going up the East River, I had a day trip. I went up the river, and I had the tide behind me, and I am flying. And I get up to the northern end of Roosevelt Island, and Roosevelt Island splits the river, so the river is narrow on both sides of the island, so it flows faster. So I turn around, and I start heading south, and all of a sudden I realize I'm pacing a jogger on Roosevelt Island.
And the jogger is winning.
Right, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm just going, somebody give me a gun.
the reason I asked that question is there is a cafe right under the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
So, sitting in one time, I was watching the ferries try to dock, and these guys do it every day, and they were just getting pushed all over the place.
Oh, yeah. No, the East River is pretty swift because the East River is, you know, obviously connecting the Atlantic with Long Island Sound. And you're going through Hellgate. The tidal flow there is 4 knots, you know, at max. Hellgate is 5 to 6 knots.
Yeah.
You know, and again, if you're going to do a side trip up to the Long Island Sound or you're coming into the harbor from the north, you know, and you've come down through, you've really got to consult the tidal tables. You really do, because you don't want to be going through Hellgate with the tide against you.
Yep.
And some people will say you don't even want to be going through Hellgate with a full tide behind you either, because you're going to be slaloming all over the place. So you want to time it so it's relatively, you want it behind you but not at full strength.
Yeah.
And I found, much to my chagrin, my autopilot was much better keeping me on course than I was.
Oh yeah.
My autopilot I refer to as Otto. Otto steers much better than I do, and I was sledding all over the place, going through the gate, and I clicked the Otto on, and all of a sudden the boat's tracking perfectly. I said, you know, come on, Otto.
Janet and I had a similar experience coming down to Cape Fear River a couple of years ago, and the boat was going the fastest it had ever gone, ever, which was about 12 knots.
Right.
And when I turned the autopilot off, I basically lost control of the boat.
Yeah, I know. It's humiliating, isn't it?
Yeah, it went sideways for a while. Under control.
Well, David, I think you've given us a great flavor for what to expect in the harbor.
Right.
For those out listening there, David Grill is the harbor host, and you can easily find the harbor host under the members area of our webpage. David and anybody else in the area will be happy to help you if you have any questions.
Right.
David, any closing comments?
Yeah, just feel free. My phone numbers are listed in the directory. Feel free to give me a call. I am leaving on the Loop on Tuesday.
Oh, fantastic.
We are sailing with the inbound tide on Tuesday morning, the 5th, and heading upriver. And so I'm not tense or anything.
Well, that is fantastic. Let us know how you're doing. Keep in touch.
I will do that.
And thank you so much for today. Again, everyone, if you want to join on our special June 99-cent special, go to our webpage, www.greatloop.org. For those members out there, don't forget the October rendezvous is opened. Sales are going very quickly. You know we sell out quickly, so I encourage you to register as soon as you can. And that's it. Bye, everyone. Not till next week.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.